live from the List Track Recording Studio. This is Email Marketing Today. Here are your hosts, Ross, Matt, and Brent.
All right, and welcome to the second edition of Email Marketing Today. I am Brent Schroyer, product manager with List Track. Also in the studio here with me today is Ross Kramer. How you doing, Ross?
I'm great. Yourself, Brent?
Doing pretty good. We are missing Matt here today, but he should be joining us again next time. And last time on the program, we were looking at the 221 Email Marketing Do's and Don'ts, a best practice reference guide that was published by our own Megan Ouellette. And we started looking at the building lists part of that white paper. So we'd like to continue on that list here today. The first item that we want to cover is confirm the email address of your new subscribers by sending a welcome message or using the double opt-in subscription method.
I'll tell you what. There was a couple of groups that looked at this metric from a whole industry standpoint, and they found that, you know, even though welcome messages are probably the best point in time when you've got somebody most engaged with in the conversation, that a welcome message wasn't sent. I don't have the stats in front of me, but it was fairly staggering.
Yeah, actually, I had done my own kind of research on this. This is probably 4 or 5 months back now, where I subscribed to about 60 different top-tier e-commerce sites. And I was really surprised at the amount of sites that didn't send me a welcome message. It was probably about 40% of the sites I subscribed to the list.
Yeah, it's really a great opportunity to start the conversation. And even for those marketers that are sending a welcome message, for many of them, you can make your welcome message work a lot harder for you. There's a lot of, and there's probably, we could do a whole podcast on the best practices for a welcome message.
Well, that actually leads into our next item here. Include a coupon or special incentive in your welcome message, as these messages have the highest open and click-through rates. Getting that call to action right in front of the contact, right on the initial contact,
makes a ton of sense, Brent. Absolutely makes a ton of sense. Your recipient is most engaged. So any way that you can, you know, elicit a response is really, you know, really your goal. And that's when you boil it down, that's really the goal of any direct marketer is through the actions that you're making that you should be able to change the response of the people that you're marketing to. So any types of offers, whether it's a coupon, you know, we're seeing some really fabulous responses to free shipping offers here in this holiday season. So it makes a, you know, welcome new subscriber, free shipping. Bam, you got it.
Now, it's also something you need to make sure you keep up on. I mean, I've actually seen that as a mistake where the welcome messages put together, the program is put in place, but then it's kind of let go and not updated over time. It's something you want to make sure that you revisit quite often to make sure that you're updating that offer and keeping it up to date.
Yeah, and we're actually in our professional services department rolling out special seasonal welcome messages as well. So the welcome message changes per the season. So that's also a neat tip for anybody listening in.
Next tip here, be sure the welcome message has the right branding in place and that it contains a link to your privacy policy, an unsubscribe link, and other canned spam requirements. You know, it's important to continue to look at those canned spam requirements. The unsubscribe link, you know, if someone did sign up and, hey, they want to be off, it's better to have them unsubscribe from that initial welcome message than to, file an abuse complaint and affect your deliverability at a further point in time.
Yeah, and there's a lot of nuts and bolts things that your welcome messages can do for you. You know, you can communicate how often you'll be mailing, the types of mailings, you know, that sort of thing. So there's a number of sort of maintenance things that you can leverage your welcome message for.
The next one here, ask new subscribers to add you to their lists of safe senders on the sign up thank you page. I think this is a great place to do this. I mean, I know a lot of times you see this in the pre-header at the very top of your newsletter, add your address to your safe sender list. But you know, when you actually get to the confirmation page of a subscription form, you know, you've got their attention, they've signed up, they are now engaged, and they can at that point take action to add you to their list.
Yeah, you really nailed it there, Brent. You know, this is really the time that you want to be asking people to add their you know, your email address to their safe senders list when they're being barraged by emails that are coming in, and you know, especially at this time of the year, at the end of the year, and retailers are trying to get as many emails in as possible. This is not the time to be, you know, to be asking anybody to add their, you know, their email address to the safe senders list. So that makes a ton of sense, even though we've seen that the uptake, so to speak, of this is not as high as some marketers would like it to be or even perceive it to be, is that, you know, consumers aren't doing this at a high, you know, a necessarily high rate. But this is, if they're going to do it, this is probably the time to do it.
Yeah, totally agree. Next item here, make the subscription process memorable so subscribers remember signing up for your emails. And I think this kind of goes back on some of the topics we covered in part one, you know, actually having an actual copy of the newsletter so that they can actually see what it is that they will have delivered to their inbox, making that subscription process more personable. You know, might also be some steps to create a memorable subscription process.
Yeah, you bet. You know, when I'm consulting with any of our clients, I try to tell them to try to make their sign-up process as sexy as possible, you know, and also exclusive. You know, people want, you know, what's the reason for signing up? Give me some value here. You know, make it exclusive, make it something that's worth signing up versus, you know, you're just going to get the same old stuff. So I know the folks that are listening to this podcast, there's some real creative folks out there. So leverage those creative muscles to make, you know, just like the white paper says, make it as memorable as possible and as an exciting experience as possible as well.
And I know we bring this up a lot, but you know, in this case, again, test. You know, test some different options there with your subscription process. Just like you're testing different elements of your email, you should be continuing to test to improve the subscription process.
You got it.
Next item here in the list: remove invalid email addresses from your list immediately. And with ListTrack, you know, we do that automatically in the ListTrack system. But it's very important to make sure that you get those invalid addresses immediately removed from the list, so that again you don't affect deliverability.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things that you can be doing in your welcome message process to really help deliverability going down the, you know, going downstream with your strategies. You know, if you're seeing an email bounce back off of your welcome message, clear sign that you want to pull that person off the list. You know, the other thing that you might want to be doing is looking at the bounce DSNs, your delivery status notifications, and you know, if you're getting bounces back from Yahoo that's saying, hey, this is a potential spam trap, you know, perhaps you want to add that to some type of a suppression file or something like that on the front end, so those types of names aren't getting onto the onto your file. I know a number of the, you know, a lot of email marketers are you know, still single opt-in types of players, so the propensity of getting junk onto your list is can be quite high when doing that. So understanding what's happening with the bounce backs that you're getting from your welcome message can really help deliverability downstream.
So next item here, if running a list, dedupe the list by running it against your in-house list and remove any subscribers who have previously opted out of your mailings. You know, you have to be very careful here in the first place. If you're renting, you know, big warning sign, caution, it all comes down to permission. You know, do you have the permission? Was the permission granted for you to be sending these contacts your message? So, you know, it's very important that, first of all, you kind of know what kind of permission has been granted. But, you know, when you are doing something like this, you want to make sure that you're, of course, deduping the list and that you're removing anyone that has previously unsubscribed from your in-house list. So you want to make sure that you're using the suppression list from your in-house list for that rented send.
And Brent, I think when the context that Megan was talking about when she wrote this particular piece in the white paper was, you know, for example, earlier this fall when we had our users conference, email marketing days, we rented Target Marketing Magazine's list. Now, they didn't send us the list. We never saw the list, but they deployed a piece of creative on our behalf sponsored by them. We sent them our suppression file. So they made sure to not send that campaign to anybody that had previously opted out of any communications from ListTrack. So protects your brand from, you know, any problems there, protects you legally in terms of canned spam compliance and that sort of thing, and just makes good sense.
All right, well, if you're following at home, we have our first don't here on the white paper list. We have it: don't purchase lists. Unsolicited messages have the highest complaint rates and could ruin your reputation. Again, it comes down to permission, and it comes down to the fact that, you know, when you're purchasing a list, again, you don't know where the permission was granted. You don't have all the steps in place as far as the proper subscription method. You're not given examples of what kind of message you're going to be sending. It's just a bad idea.
Well put.
All right, the next item on the list here, we have another don't. Don't pre-check the opt-in box to add subscribers to your list automatically. You know, it's a good idea to have that checkbox there so that the subscriber has to actually manually check the box. And really, we're talking about cases such as you're signing up for a white paper, or you're signing up for a contest, or you're signing up for something other than specifically requesting to get the message. You're signing up for some other form. You want to make sure that the subscription method to the list is that they actually have to check off that box.
Yeah, and what's interesting, Brent, is, you know, Megan doesn't write this stuff for her health, right? And we're not talking about this stuff just to fill dead air. This is truly a best practice, and it truly helps people have cleaner lists, better deliverability, and overall higher ROI, because people that want to receive your messages will check the box, and people that don't won't. And it's really that simple. And you still have the great argument of some really old school DM folks that bigger is better. And that might be the case in a postal file or something like that, but it's just simply not the case in today's email world, especially with this overarching idea of reputation,
exactly.
Which is, you know, what we're going to be talking about next week.
Right.
You know, we've got a whole podcast full of reputation, and if you're adding people to your list that don't want to be on there, they're going to report you as a spammer.
Exactly.
Your reputation is going to, you know, suffer as a result of that, and you know, your email strategy is really going to suffer due to that.
Yeah, and you really have to be careful in cases such as like a contest. You know, when someone's filling out a form for a contest entry, they're most of the time going for the prize. You know, they're registering for the contest. And if you're just throwing them on your list, yeah, I mean, you're gonna get abuse complaints. You're gonna get a lot of them.
And it's a real slippery slope.
All right, next item here. Do track the source of your new subscribers so you know where they are coming from and how they are hearing about your business. You know, this is it's a good idea just to kind of bring your marketing together and make sure that you can see, you know, where the subscribers on your list have come from, and so that you actually have that availability, you have that profiling data. So you have it later for segmentation. When you want to segment out contacts coming from a certain source, you have that available to you.
Yeah, and you know, it all boils down to ROI. And, you know, you want to do more of the things that are working and do less of the things that aren't working. And the beautiful thing about many of these things in the interactive marketing space is that it's so trackable. And, you know, whether it's tracking which page on your website those signups came from, or which of your microsites are performing better, you know, heck, we've found ourselves, hopefully none of our competitors are listening in, that pages with video seem to capture attention and capture email signups higher than pages that don't have video. You know, so it's that simple, you know. So what are we going to do more of? Video. I tried to have this podcast converted to video, although I believe you shot it down.
We're getting there. So the next item here is a caution. Use sweepstakes contests or free offers to build your lists, as some recipients will only be interested in the offer, not in receiving messages from your company on an ongoing basis. And we kind of just covered this with the checkbox. You know, any of these forms where it's not directly, you know, a direct subscription to your list for, you know, granting you the permission to send me your messages, you know, big time warning.
Yeah, you betcha. You bet. And you know, I'll just go back to making one more point that I didn't quite articulate at the last juncture was, you know, if you're signing up folks to say Yahoo, and you're signing them onto your list, they're not checking the box as an explicit opt-in, and you deploy to Yahoo and you get blocked at Yahoo, all those people that never signed up are hitting this is spam, and next thing you know, you're blocked. All your other customers that are expecting to get your messages that have said, yes, please sign me up, they're going to be blocked too. So it really doesn't make a lot of sense.
Definitely. And the next item here, again, we covered this. If using sweepstakes to capture subscribers include an unchecked checkbox, participants can select to join your mailing list. And the next item here, do focus on the quality of your subscribers, not the quantity. You know, I think that, you know, it goes back to making sure that your subscribers, that your contacts know what it is that you're going to be sending them, that you're telling them the quantity, the amount that you're actually going to be sending to them, and giving them, you know, really presenting your case so that they have the option whether or not they want to sign up or not. You know, you don't want to get tricky with it. You don't want to trick people to sign up for your list, and again, you're gonna hurt yourself with the abuse complaints coming through. So you know, it's really about the quality of the subscribers.
Yeah, and I'll agree with that, Brent. I think we've probably covered that in the last couple of points, but it is well point with quality over quantity.
So next item here: do understand the value of each email address, and I've heard the. I've heard this recently as the lifetime value of the email address, to actually look at your contacts over time and to look at the lifetime value, look at the amount of conversions, the amount of goals converted, the amount of e-commerce transactions made, versus the segmentation that contact is a part of.
Yeah, I know if our friend David Baker was listening in, he would say, this one's got to be the very first one, you know, because I think, you know, understanding what the value of each email address is to your company really dictates how, you know, you're going to do acquisition and how often you're going to mail and how much time you're going to spend copywriting and testing and all of this stuff. So this is probably... You know, if you screw up the permission thing and you get blocked, you're probably screwed. But beyond that, if you can understand what the value of each of your email addresses is to you and to your company, it really helps to flesh out all of your strategy.
It goes back to you can't talk to everyone with the same voice. You know, if you have someone with a high lifetime value on your list versus low lifetime value, you're going to have a completely different way of addressing that contact, or you should in the copy of your messages.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's something that really resonated at Email Marketing Days, and something that we've been, you know, as you know, as a product manager, Brent, that we've been working on the past few months here is to help. Our customers better visualize what those segments are within their lists and who's most engaged, who's least engaged. And then, you know, as part of our educational series, like these podcasts, our webinars, white papers, et cetera, is helping our customers and our friends out in the industry craft better messages to better communicate to those segments.
And without giving any specifics, I can tell you that, you know, on our roadmap, our product roadmap for ListTrack, we definitely have some more features kind of coming soon to kind of continue to help ListTrack clients at least to identify those segments.
Can't wait.
Next item here in the list, do encourage your subscribers to send your emails to their friends using a forward to a friend link in all of your messages.
You know, forward to a friend has historically been a business to consumer type of thing, B2C type of a thing. I'm a big consumer of B2B services as the, you know, CEO of ListTrack. And I am amazed how many times somebody from some technology vendor or, you know, other a B2B player sends me an email, I'm interested in it. I'm interested in sharing the email. And should I make the confession here on the podcast of what email program I actually use, Brent?
I don't know if I would do that, Ross. You may lose some respect.
You know, so there's a
there's a small share out there that might gain some respect, but.
Well, you know, but there's a large piece of, you know, authenticity that comes along with everything that we do. And I will I will go on the record to say that I am still a Eudora user.
Ouch.
And I love Eudora, but I hate the fact that it absolutely mangles HTML emails when you go to forward them. And Outlook does a stellar job, but Eudora absolutely mangles them. So I'm always happy to see that forward to a friend feature, because I know when I forward something onto you or some of the other guys within the product team or marketing or whomever, that you know the email is going to show up and it's not going to be mangled. So, but I'm amazed at how many times in the B2B space it's not used. The other thing that I will mention is in my history, in my, you know, 10 or so years in the email marketing space, I found the campaigns that are solely focused on viral always do the best. You know, and people say, boy, you know, viral marketing never really delivered on its promise. Well, maybe it's because you're hiding all the viral marketing messages at the bottom of the campaign. And for those newbies out there that are wondering if we're talking about viruses or some sort of transmitted diseases, we're talking about the forward to a friend features and nothing that has any relation to infectious diseases.
Yeah, and you know, now with all the talk about social marketing, I mean, you know, social marketing is essentially part viral. I mean, you know, it's a message that is you know, taken and put out there on Twitter, and someone's retwittering it out to their followers. You know, so you kind of have there's almost like a different definition of viral out there these days.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, for anybody's interested in all that good social media stuff, our webinar with Paul Gillen just last week was fabulous. So.
Yeah, you can actually see that if you go out to listtrack.com, if you go out to our website, we have a link on the homepage. There's also a link in the resources area that you can watch that full webinar.
Yeah, we got some absolutely fabulous feedback from that. We had something like 340 total subscribers in any part throughout the webinar. So it was really, really cool. Check it out if you're into any, you know, parts of social media.
Now, you don't want to automatically add the forward to a friend recipients to your list. Instead, include an easy way to subscribe to your email list in the forwarded version of the email. It's probably one of the worst mistakes you can make is actually take that list, automatically take anyone that has forwarded this to another person, take that contact's email address and just add it to your list. That's it's a terrible way of doing it. Much better to include a link. I know one of the ways that we do it in ListTrack, we actually provide some extra text that person can add to the top of the message that's being forwarded along, and we will automatically add in a link so that they could actually subscribe to the list if they wanted to.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense.
And the last item on the list here today, do ask ListTrack's email marketing experts to create and help you implement a successful list acquisition strategy.
And Megan wouldn't be a good marketer if she didn't add
That's right. That's right. But we do have, you know, full professional services team here available to help you out to, you know, any questions that you have, or if, you know, you really need to kind of turn over, you know, your program to industry experts. We have a full team kind of waiting to go.
Yeah, it's really amazing, especially everybody with the tight economy is trying to squeeze every last bit of performance they can out of, you know, this year's holiday season. And I can tell you one quick story, you know, without divulging a whole lot of names here, but we had one customer that sent out a campaign right before Thanksgiving. And it was a really simple campaign, and it just said, like, one day only, free shipping. That was it. It didn't have any products. It was sparse and devoid of any other content except free shipping, and it was an overnight success. I mean, huge. And we communicated that out to our professional services guys, communicated that out to their other clients, like, immediately. And we swapped out a few, you know, Cyber Monday types of campaigns with just that, and we saw some immediate successes. So we're definitely seeing sort of a you know, a wisdom of the crowd type of thing happening within that professional services group, that we're able to, you know, very quickly get the word out to our other clients when something's working. It was really neat to see the value that we're providing there.
So that's about all the time we have here today. Thanks for joining us here again. And, you know, feel free to go out to listtrack.com, to the resources area. Plenty of white papers, case studies, and webinars available. You know, a wealth of information out there, Ross, for listeners to read.
Yeah, absolutely. And if anybody's looking for Eudora tips and tricks, they'll, you know, feel free to drop me a line.
All right. We'll talk to you all next week.